Good morning, Natasha.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chris and David. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you all sound a little bit more awake than I am. but that's one of the pleasures of living in the Midwest. Okay, so
I'm in Colorado, Natasha. I can relate.
Oh, yes. Do you have snow?
We got another 6 inches last night. I'm going to go snowboarding after this interview.
Yeah, they're calling for snow for us in Chicago.
We're sending it your way.
Good. I wish it would have come during winter time. And
snow. No, a little crazy.
Well, it's going to be 82 in Richmond. Are you guys enjoying it?
Yeah, rub it in. Okay, so here we go. Every 10 minutes, another person is added to the waiting list for an organ transplant, but a new survey shows that even though many people are in favor of organ donation, they aren't registering. Professional snowboarder Chris Klug, am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
It's Klug.
Klug, okay, sorry about that. Professional snowboarder Chris Klug knows firsthand about the need for organ donation. He's the first ever organ transplant recipient to earn a bronze medal, and he joins us now, along with David Fleming, CEO of Donate Life America, to discuss the need for organ donation and the latest survey results. Okay, Chris, it's an awesome story to be able to have an organ transplant and then go ahead and win the gold medal. Can you tell me how you work to overcome such a large setback?
Sure.
Bronze medal, sorry about that.
That's okay. It felt like gold. Yeah, it was an awesome experience. I'm obviously grateful to be here today and forever humbled and really grateful to my organ donor and all organ donors. I think they're the real heroes of this whole process. And the reason I'm here today, but it really enabled me to pursue my Olympic snowboarding dreams and get a second chance at life. And I'll tell you, being on that waiting list for about 6 years in total in my case, it's a scary place to be, not knowing what your future holds and hoping and praying for a second chance. And that's one of the reasons I really, being on that waiting list for about 6 years, I said to myself, if I get through this, I'm going to do everything in my power to give back and help others that are going through the same thing that I did nearly 13 years ago. And we know that the need is so great today. There's about 115,000 people waiting for organ transplants across our country today. And there's about every 10 minutes another name is added to that list. So we've got our work cut out for us, but it's an amazing thing, and I encourage everybody to have that conversation with their family. Make sure you know the facts about organ donation. Have that conversation with your family and document that decision.
Oh, okay. Can you explain what the process was, or if you remember it a little bit?
The process of my transplant?
Of the transplant, right. And then any issues that you may have encountered or, you know, things that didn't go as planned. And we know with organ donation, stuff really doesn't go all the time as planned. Was it a smooth?
Well, I really had a miraculous recovery.
Okay.
Yeah. And Natasha, I had a miraculous recovery. I was, after being on the waiting list for about 6 years, and I would say that was really the hardest part, is that time leading up to my transplant and not knowing if or when I would get a second chance. And it's a scary place to be, because for me, each week my health was deteriorating, and you're familiar with the scary statistics and the odds not necessarily in your favor. And so it was a scary place to be, but you know, I got that call July 28th of 2000, and after waiting for about 3 months at a critical stage, got a second chance. And I tell you, as soon as I had that transplant, compared to the waiting list process, that was much easier. As soon as I got that transplant, I felt whole for the first time, and I knew I was going to make it back. I didn't realize how sick I was, and the fact that I'd been living my whole life with a compromised liver, and now I had a brand new, perfectly functioning liver. And I was out of the hospital about 4 days later, and snowboarding again 7 weeks later, and back at my second Winter Olympic Games, where I won a bronze medal just a year and a half later. So I think it speaks to the success of transplantation today and what's possible after a transplant.
Yeah, that is amazing. Out in 4 days. Your story is very interesting and close to home. I have a girlfriend who knew that she had liver issues with hepatitis, and she ended up being on the transplant list also and getting a liver. And was told that she'd never have children, but then she had a child. So it's really awesome what, you know, donation does for families and for people in general. And then we put my uncle on the transplant list, or he was on the transplant list. Unfortunately, for us, but we were able to touch the families, you know, three different families with organs that were given from him, and it motivated me to become a donor that way, seeing how even though life was ending on one end, we could help someone else with, you know, keeping their loved ones around a little bit longer. So,
well, your uncle's a hero. Thanks for
yes, definitely. The circumstances were horrible, but you know, it makes me happy. You know, and that's how we remember him a little bit.
Congratulations to your friend as well. I'm a new father, and it's pretty much the coolest thing I've ever done.
It definitely is, isn't it? A lot different than snowboarding. Probably a lot more adventurous too.
I can't wait to put her on a snowboard now.
Being a dad, yeah. Don't give your wife a heart attack.
She's a snowboarder too, so it's.
Then it's in the blood. It's in the blood. You all are covered. But thank you very much for sharing your experience. Was there anything else that you wanted to share that's pressing about the entire process, or you know, did you meet your donor family?
The 2002 Olympics were in Salt Lake City, just about 6 hours from my home in Aspen, Colorado, and I had about 100 friends and family members make the trip over there to support me. And I think that was one of the most special things for me about the 2002 Olympics was being able to share that with my whole support network, everyone that was there to help me get through the ups and downs of almost 6 years on a waiting list. And I also got a chance to meet my donor family that next day after winning my Olympic medal in Salt Lake City. And I have to say I was more nervous for meeting them than I was for my Olympic race. And yet the next day we shared lunch together, and I got to put my bronze medal around their neck and share in that victory together. And they shared with me that it was really a great success and a great victory for them to know that some good did come out of that tragedy, that I was alive and I believe three other people as a result of my donor family's decision and their gift. And the impact that one donor can have is pretty significant. And for me, that was a very powerful encounter.
Yeah, I can imagine. It gives me goosebumps when I think about it, and hearing other stories of recipients and how donor families affect them, and you know, give them a new lease on life. It's awesome. So we're going to go ahead and segue into David, who is, you know, the CEO of Donate Life America, and I want him to tell us about the recent survey that they just conducted and what it found out about organ donation in general.
Sure. Well, thank you, Cheryl. And I think one of the things that we discovered in the survey, and it's kind of reassuring to know that we've been on the right path for a long time, and it's what you and Chris were just doing, is that the survey found that one of the most influential sources of information and encouraging people to become donors and to share their decision with their family and to register is hearing about someone that's been affected by it, hearing from a patient that's waiting. You heard Chris talk about the incredible challenge of just waiting for 6 years on a waiting list, truly having no control over your situation and having to rely on the generosity of a donor and a donor's family.
Uh-huh.
Was something that we found in the survey. So, you know, we really appreciate the opportunity to be here and to share stories and hopefully encourage your listeners and the people that pay attention to the information you share, and hopefully they're encouraged by these stories, because it's the other thing it shows, it's donation affects everybody. It's normal, everyday people just like the three of us, that need transplants, that are making decisions to be donors. But the really important thing the survey highlighted for my organization, and one of the things we want to make sure we communicate today, is that 48% of the people that responded to the survey said they did not know how to register to be a donor. And we want to communicate very clearly. It's as simple as going on the internet, going to a website like DonateLife.net, clicking on your state and registering on your state registry. Every state has an online registry. You can register 24/7. It takes just a couple of minutes out of your day to make sure that if you want to be a donor, to make sure that professionals are going to know about it. We encourage everyone to communicate that decision with their families and encourage your family members to also register a decision to donate, because one of the greatest gifts we can give beyond providing hope to patients waiting like Chris is a gift of clarity to our family members so they know what we want to happen if we are ever have an opportunity to be an organ, eye, or tissue donor.
Okay. So with all of those ways to verify that you want to be a donor, what do you think is the biggest discouragement from people registering? Why when it's so easy, it takes so much to, you know, persuade people to donate?
At the end of the day, I think it's, the word that I typically use when we talk about what discourages people, I think it's fear. It's fear of the unknown. It's fear of their own mortality. It's a fear that, they're not going to, one of the things we hear a lot is they're not going to try as hard to save me if they know I'm a donor. So there are just a lot of latent fears out there that are myths and misconceptions about donation and transplantation. Once again, we heard from Chris about what an incredible gift this is. The people that work in this industry are incredibly compassionate, incredibly committed to saving everyone's life, whether it's someone in the emergency room or someone waiting for a transplant. And the goal is to save more lives. And we really want to encourage people to understand that they can trust the community. We're here to help people in need and to provide hope to those patients waiting. And, we currently have over 115,000 Americans waiting, and it's a national healthcare crisis. The good news is it's a solvable national healthcare crisis. We just need people like you and me to take the time to register to be a donor. And it's as simple as going to a website, DonateLife.net.
Okay. And what mode do you use mostly to encourage people when they do give you the standard line?
Yeah, it's the storytelling. It's helping people understand that people like your family went through the process. You made the decision to donate your uncle's organs, and you were happy about the outcome. It made your family feel better knowing that your uncle was able to save three people's lives. And that's what happens every day. I mean, Chris's story, your story, are told out across this country every day with people's lives being saved through the tragedy of someone dying unexpectedly. People have the opportunity, like Chris did on occasion, to meet a donor family, and it's incredible to see the bond and the love that's shared between these people that were able to now be intertwined in each other's lives because of a life-saving transplant. So it really is an incredible story of the generosity of people in this country, and we just want to make sure that it's heard loud and clear, that everyone can participate, and it's really as easy as registering your decision.
Okay. And other than Chris's story, which is amazing, and almost I can't think of the word, that it's one of those things that kind of makes you want to go out and just snatch everyone that you see and make sure that they're an organ donor. What other story would you share in order to kind of, persuade? What organ donation story has really touched? And I know they all touch your heart probably, but what stands out to you the most?
Well, I mean, I think the organ donation stories that stand out to me the most are the stories that aren't frequently told, and that's the stories of the 18 people that die every day. We hear lots of stories from people like Chris whose lives were saved, and we want to show the positive outcomes of this. But the unfortunate reality is that while we have 28,000-plus people that receive a transplant every year, we have 6,500-plus people that die every year waiting. And one of the incredible things that you heard in Chris's story and the story of your friend, organ donation doesn't just save people's lives. It saves generations of people. your friend would not have had a child. Chris would not be having a child if it hadn't been for that gift. So the ripple effects of donation are deep and they're wide. And it's just an incredible, what an incredible way to leave this planet, to know that you could save not just someone's life waiting for a transplant, but you can save a generation of people by giving that gift.
Okay. Is there a place where you want people to go? I know that you said Donate Life is an area that they can go to on the net. Any other place that you would like to share for them to go?
We want to make
that
sure
I
that
became one at my DMV.
Absolutely, we
most of a situation.
Fortunately, we work really closely with our DMV partners, and our registries are all linked together from a DMV standpoint within each state. So we want you to register when you get your driver's license renewed, but we want to make sure that people know you don't have to wait until then. Go to DonateLife.net, click on the register button, click on your state. It just takes a couple of minutes. It's very, very easy. And then we encourage you to share that decision and encourage your friends and family to do the same.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you all. Early this morning, Chris, for joining us. I thank you very, very much for talking to me about something so close to your heart. David, I appreciate you for heading a corporation that is doing such great things in people's lives. And after dealing with what I dealt with 2 years ago and, you know, out of a very, very bad situation, we were able to touch lives and be connected to different families that we probably would have never met in this lifetime ever if it wasn't for, you know, my uncle. So I appreciate all that you do. And I thank you all for just being trailblazers and being very, very passionate about what you believe in. Chris, now we're going to be looking for you elsewhere and your daughter to win gold now.
Right. We'll get you out to Aspen and put you on a snowboard, Natasha.
Yeah, we've been on Aurora. I'm not too fond of being on moving things on snow, but my son is. You could probably persuade him to get out on a snowboard. I feel a little bit too old for that.
Thank you, Natasha. We appreciate it.
Thank you. You all have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.
See you later.